The Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from Broadcasting House, London.
Hello, what's going on in this room then?
Graham, from personnel.
Oh, hello, it's Jack, isn't it?
No, but you won't have any trouble remembering this name. I'm Graham, too, from development.
Graham's, more wine.
As I live and breathe, Graham Dodds from accounts, you old bugger.
Well, this is a coincidence.
Is that...
Hey, Philip, what's your name again?
Yes, it's Graham. Graham Weir.
Weir. Oh, hang on. You two over by the nibbles, what are your names?
I'm Graham. What's so funny about that?
Well, we're all called Graham as well. What about your mate?
Yep. Graham? This is amazing! Wait a minute. Oh my God, Graham Trap!
And now on Radio 4, Fellas Hour.
This is a man's world! This is a man's world!
All right, boys. Steve Davis here. Not the Steve Davis, obviously. I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis, host of Fellas Hour. And today we kick the show straight off with our book review section, which we call...
What you looking at?
I should also say that in the office we call it Under the Covers, because it sounds a bit saucy. OK, I read three books this week, and here is the Steve Davis verdict on each one.
On one!
The Female Eunuch by Germaine Greer. Well... Frankly, this was the worst whodunit I've ever read. A fella did it, and if you haven't worked that out by page 4, you must be reading with your eyes shut. Still, my copy did have a nude on the front, so it wasn't a complete disaster. 2 out of 10 for the dust jacket.
On two!
Book 2 was the instruction manual for a Saab 900 XI. Reading this cover to cover can be a bit dull. It's a stocking filler. I should say that if you're going to use it as a Kazi book, you might want to save chapter 4 for when you're going to be in there a while. It's about the engine. It's very hard to put down. On the other hand, chapter 9's about the seatbelts. You could probably knock that one off during a bit of preliminary wind. 6 out of 10 overall.
On 3!
Book of the week. A cracker. A modern classic. Dennis Law's authorised biography. It's a riot from start to finish. You'll be crying with laughter when you read about some of the bottom-related pranks him and Bestie pulled in the 60s. Then you'll be able to share in his grief as you read about how he scored the goal which sent his old team, Man United, down to the second division. On the other hand, you might find that funny and all. Either way, it's a winner. It ought to be a standard text for English courses around the country. Well done, Dennis. 11 out of 10.
That's books for you.
OK. Next up, the Wimbledon second 11 are in to burp the William Tell Overture. It's going to be a great afternoon. Here we go.
Roger, I'd like to apply for the Nobel Peace Prize, please.
Sorry?
I'm a scientist. I've made a breakthrough in genetic engineering technology. I'd like the Nobel Prize for it. Actually, I'm not that bothered about the trophy. Just a cheque, please. Make it out to Cash. Professor Cash. That's me.
Yes, what's in the shoebox?
Cloned mice. I've cloned some mice. Have a look.
And you cloned these yourself, did you? How?
Usual methods, few groundbreaking tweaks, which I can't discuss now.
Yes, of course. One of them has a pink nose, the other brown. Why is that?
Felt tip. Well, I've got to tell them apart, haven't I?
You know, I think you found two similar-looking mice and pretended to clone them so that you could win this prize.
No! How dare you?
Now, look, come on, you're... Wait,
look, now, look, I've got two tortoises in the car. Do you want to look at them?
No, my time is very
precious. Hey, no, we could cross them with the mice. Call them...
Please.
Torto mice. Hang on. Big, slow mice. Sell them to ladies with fat cats.
No, it's very nice.
50-50 on the profits.
No, please.
All right, tough guy. 30-70, your favour.
Look, please.
I'll do all the selling. I tell you what, sod you. If you can stick your job. Flogging fat mice to old deers for a measly 30%.
Oh, come on.
You toilet. You shower.
No,
you
bath.
Oh, come on. They've got to let us out in a minute.
This is taking longer than one of your financial reports, Graham.
Well, it's a bit more interesting than one of his reports, though, isn't it?
Yeah, all right. Very funny, Grahams. What is this? Laugh of the Graham Day.
Actually, it's confession time. My name isn't Graham at all. It's Jerry.
What?
Yeah, I just went along with it earlier because it was so funny. What are you all looking at me like that for?
We're just wondering what exactly it is that you think so funny about the name Graham.
Oh, my. Let me out!
Jerry.
Let me out! Jerry. My name is Jerry! Don't let me in here with all these Grahams!
Well, half-time, Colin, and an absolutely cracking match out there.
Well, that's right, Brian. You know, both sides looking very fluid going forward, playing very much as a unit. In fact, it's a terrific advertisement for the English game.
So, a cracking first half, then. Terrific advertisement for the English game.
Well, that's right. It's a terrific advertisement for the English game. First-class entertainment. In fact, it's been absolutely cracking.
They're playing very much as a unit out there, aren't they, Colin? The teams.
Well, that's right, Brian. You know, both sides looking very fluid going forward. And as I say, it's a terrific advertisement for the English game.
So, an absolutely cracking first half, then. Hopefully it will continue in the second half. What are your thoughts about that second half?
Well, hopefully it'll continue as it's been going, you know. In fact, it's been that good that I've written a poem about it, if you'll indulge me, Brian.
Well, OK, then, briefly.
Thanks very much. It's got no real form to speak of, Brian, but I think that's appropriate for what is basically an expression of unfettered joy. I've called it simply Crikey. Crikey. Crikey! What a great game! So rare in these dark days of yellow cards and red faces. We must now accept that joy can once again leap from our hearts like a top-class keeper, and that realistically British clubs have got a decent chance in Europe. Yeah, it sort of tails off at the end there, doesn't it? But I think my emotions were too powerful to be expressed properly so close to the event.
Well, it certainly was a cracking first half. Join us after this.
Welcome to In at the Really, Really Deep End. This week, I've got 5 days to learn how to perform a double heart bypass operation on my father. And my father doesn't actually need a double heart bypass operation, so if anything goes wrong, he'll bloody kill me. Or I'll bloody kill him.
Day one.
Right, I've just come down the pub to calm my nerves. Cheers!
Day two.
Heart unit, how can I help?
Hello, it's John from In at the Really, Really Deep End. I was supposed to come in today and learn how to do a double heart bypass operation.
Oh, yes.
Thing is, I'm a wee bit hungover. Can we make it tomorrow instead?
Doctor's very busy. I've got a cancellation at 3:30.
Tomorrow? That's great. Thanks a lot. Right, hair of the dog, I think.
Day three. Day four.
So it's nothing serious, Doctor?
No, you've just been drinking too much. Are you feeling stressed or worried at the moment?
Oh, I am, yes. I'm supposed to be performing a double heart bypass on my father tomorrow. Actually, I was wondering if you could give me any advice on that.
Get to bed early, stay off the alcohol.
Day five.
Just come in for a bit of Dutch courage before the operation. This is my dad, by the way.
Here you are, son. Get that down, you.
Och, no, I best not.
Come on, it's not every day you become a doctor.
I can't do it.
You've got to. You signed the contract.
I didn't know what to do.
Look, do you want to be the next Jeremy from the airport or not?
I'm pissed.
Well, give me the scalpel, then.
No, all right, I'll do it.
Is there a problem, son?
Everything's fine, Dad. Go back to sleep.
Oh, my heart!
Is that right, Dad? Nurse, give me 3 mg of penicillin.
Yes,
try to relax, Dad. I'm just going to make a wee incision in your cardiovascular region.
Oh. Day six.
I didn't feel like a hero. Something inside me just took over. Deep down, I guess we all know how to do a double heart bypass operation, and in an emergency, it just comes flooding to the surface. It's just a shame my dad couldn't handle the pace in the hospital bar afterwards.
All right, Green Thumbers, I'm Jack Finsborough. Welcome to my garden and phone-in. We've got Albert Grove from Corsham on the line. What seems to be the problem, Albert?
Well, Jack, I don't mind telling you, I'm at my wit's end.
Oh, lovely.
You see, I've been looking after my elderly neighbour's garden for the past 2 months while she's been away in hospital. Unfortunately, her prize foxgloves are in a terrible state. The petals have gone a motley brown, and there's a peculiar furry fuzz on the stem. I don't understand it, as I've done everything she told me to do. Doris comes home on Monday, and it'll break her heart if she sees them in this state. What can I do, Jack?
Not to worry, Albert. It's a common enough problem amongst certain strains of foxgloves. What seems to have happened is poor Doris's lovely foxgloves have been taken over by bloodthirsty werewolves. I expect you've noticed an increase in the number of sheep with their throats ripped out.
No.
That's as maybe, Albert, but it's only a matter of time. You must act quickly. The foxglove wolf beast can only be destroyed with a massive, great big bloody explosion. And fire! Beautiful fire! A cataclysmic inferno with masses and masses of chiggering dynamite! Blow them all up! Blow them all to smithereens! Then dance! Dance naked on their burnt and broken remains! If that don't shift him, well, I don't know what will.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Finsborough. You're a lifesaver. It'd be awful for Doris to come back from death's door only to see her foxgloves all evil and that. Werewolves, well, I never. You know, I expected it was something like that, but there was nothing about it in any of the gardening magazines.
Oh, bloody amateurs, Albert. Stay well clear of them. They can't tell a marrow from a pod person. They'll steal your body and take over the world! Till next time, Green Thumbers, stay warm.
Watcher, I've come about the Prince of Wales Innovation Award.
You want to attend the event?
I intend to win it. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Professor Cash, and this is my invention.
What is it?
A robot that boils water.
No, it's a kettle with a face drawn on it. And felt tip.
You'll never guess how I thought of it. I've got my felt tip. I'm drawing on the nose of a mouse. Don't ask. I fancy a cup of tea. Pick up the kettle.
Eureka!
I'm thinking of calling it Robo Boil.
Look, I'm afraid it's really not suitable for the awards. It's not an invention. It's more of a customization. In fact, if it's not your kettle, it's just graffiti.
You clever little sod.
Well, no,
trying
just...
to put me off the scent, then do it for yourself.
No.
Customisation. You're right, it's ready for the public now.
Fine.
I'll buy a job lot of Morphy Richards, draw the faces, I've got my own pen. It's not a start-up overhead.
Okay.
You bang them out at Pitsy Market at 10% markup, you make a few quid, I'm the daddy.
What?
But then you get greedy. You're doing them at 50%, creaming off 40%, you're robbing me blind. Me in my shed with a marker pen, none the wiser. You think you're the daddy now.
I'm the daddy.
You know you're not. Yeah, I've run it. And if I see you there again, you're dead. You toilet, you shower, you bath.
He's Ted Ruby, singer-songwriter.
Hi, I'm Ted Ruby. You know, people often say to me, Ted, how do you write the perfect love song? So I decided to make that the subject of this week's masterclass. I love you. Oh, that's the lyrics sorted. Three simple words. Three simple chords, however, is not enough. This ain't rock and roll, baby. This is far more sophisticated. You're looking at four chords minimum. Five if you're some kind of hotshot. Me, I always stuck with the same four. Start your tape recorders now, believers. This is dynamite. The chords you need are... this one, followed by this one, back to this one, and again this one, then the third one, which hits you straight between the eyes, and the fourth one, now that one took you by surprise, and back to this one. Yeah, it's like warm water lapping gently over... yeah, you know what I mean. Hey, tell me that ain't genius. It's beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't sell, believe me. I've written 72 songs of those four chords, and every goddamn one of them ended up at the bottom of the bargain bucket. Yeah, you want to sell records? Screw the lyrics. Screw the chords. You gotta have melody. Melody, that little hook that gets inside your brain. The sort of tune that drives us all insane. The sort of tune I'm singing now. And the icing on the cake, na-na-na.
na 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 la 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 ba 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 da da la la na.
I don't know why you're laughing. You buy that crap. Remember, three words, four chords, and an irritating tune equals H-I-T. None of this is true. I'm Ted Ruby. Good night.
Scouts. Guides. Amateur dramatics, senior citizens, family planning, and more. The Hills End Community Centre caters for all these tastes. Pop in today for a copy of the Community Centre brochure and rule book. Please read it. There's always some idiots who don't. Please do. It makes our lives easier.
Well, Gareth, what do you think?
Very good, Mr. Stoll.
Is the right answer. Congratulations, you've kept your job.
Excuse me, I'm looking for rehearsals for Camilla the Musical.
Yeah, just through there.
Yes, thank you.
Non-speaking role, is it?
I'm sorry?
What are you, third mute paparazzi on the right?
No, I'm Prince Charles.
There's always one, isn't there, Gareth?
Yes, Mr. Stoll.
Is the right answer. Listen, pal, the Hills End Community Centre musical players are busy people. If you think they've got time to be disturbed by speech-impeded stalkers with delusions of grandeur, then you're miles off. Prince Charles opened this community centre last week. He looked nothing like you.
No, I'm not Prince Charles. My name is Harry Trent.
I don't care. You're banned from my community centre. Gareth, escort him from the building. I'm going in there to break the news. Ladies and gentlemen of the Hills End Community Centre musical players, my name is Miles Stoughton. In the absence of Mr. Harry Trent, who has died, I will be playing the part of Prince Charles. Before I hand you back to the director, I would like to make one or two things clear. Firstly, I can't sing or act. You lot can. If I pass one of you doubled up on the stairs with a steaming iron in your groin, I will assume you are workshopping and walk on by. If, however, you see me screaming for assistance with a pair of scissors in my back, and it does happen, I wish it wouldn't, but it does, please come to my aid. I am not showing off. My life is in danger. Secondly, I know some idiots won't have read the rule book, so I'll say this. Always stack a male chair onto a female chair. Never...
Yeah, sorry, mate. This is a fantastic audition piece, but can we get on? Thank you. From the top, please, Richard.
Macbeth! Thank you. Finally, and some of you may find this offensive, but I'll say it anyway. I don't like dungarees. They're a form of clothing clearly designed for painters and decorators, and yet people such as you, sir, and you, madam, and you could be a sir, could be a madam, people of a certain creative bent seem unavoidably drawn towards these half-dress, half-trouser abominations. If you're not sure whether you're a man or a woman, look in your pants. If you're still not sure, try throwing yourself under a train and seeing whether the flowers arrive in pink or blue.
I'm sorry, mate. I don't think you're right for this part.
I don't think you're right for my community centre. You're all banned. Stack the chairs and get out. Now, what did I say 2 minutes ago? Male, female. Unbelievable.
The rebel army in the South American Republic of Suriname has now completely surrounded the capital city of Paramaribo. We understand that the rebel leader, General Maximilian, has entered the city in secret and is talking with our foreign correspondent, Henry Payne. Henry, can you hear me?
No.
I'm
just kidding, mate. I can hear you fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Henry, are you in a bar?
Yep.
What are you doing in a bar?
Looking for penguins. What do you think I'm doing? I'm having a drink.
Yeah, all right. Henry, could we speak to the general?
No.
Please.
No, I mean, you could if he was here, but he's not, so you can't. Know what I mean?
Where is he, Henry?
Oh, the old Bill took him away.
Well, now, this is news. General Maximilian has been arrested by the old... by government forces in Suriname. This is very serious for the revolutionary movement.
No, it's not that bad, mate. He's only been done for drunken disorderly.
Drunken... Look, the authority... Do the authorities know who they've arrested?
Nah, he did try and tell them, but he was nude halfway up a lamppost at the time. I don't reckon they believed him.
Henry, could you not at least have waited until after we'd done the interview before you got a future world leader so drunk he's ended up in the cells?
No.
Henry, there's civil war going on there. You are not on holiday.
Yeah, look, I'm going to shoot off, mate. I'll give you a call later if there are any developments.
Oh, right, so you think something might happen?
I certainly do. The waitress has been giving me the eye all morning.
Henry Payne there, reporting from the war-torn bars of Suriname. Hi, I'm Kenneth Buster, and I'm on the show primarily because I sound a bit like Tony Blair. And I have to say that I'm back this week not only with my own theme tune, no less, but with something of a bulging postbag. Just the one letter, but it's a very big one. It said simply, "Dear Ken, lovely to hear soundalikes getting a chance on national radio. I myself sound a bit like Bill Clinton. Can I come on the show with you? Yours, Mike Baker." Well, he sounded like fun. And I thought, what the heck, why not? So, ladies and gents, please welcome Mike Baker.
Thank you, it's great to be here.
Well, Mike, the first thing we notice is, yes, you do sound a bit like Bill Clinton.
Thank you very much, Ken. You wouldn't believe I was born in Whitby, North Yorkshire, the son of a steelworker.
Well, no, you wouldn't. And it's quite a surprise that you're black as well.
Not to me.
Oh, no. I wasn't. No. But the good news for listeners is that Mike and I will be doing a joint slot from now on. So we'll see you next week. But in the meantime, say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye, Mike.
This is going to work. Give me some theme.
If your name is Graham, clap your hands. If your name isn't Graham, get a slap.
Please, no more, you fiendish Graham!
This is an excellent game, Graham.
Thank you, Graham. Care to lead one, Graham?
If the other Grahams will join me.
Naturally. Well,
if your name is Graham, clap your hands. If your name is Graham, yes, sir!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back those crazy stars of Britain's favourite vacation-based sitcom from the 70s. Firstly, Mr. Norbert Bucketson.
Who's in the Algarve?
You are!
I am.
He is. Secondly, King of the Pratfall, Mr. Dickie Whoops.
Oi, oi, whoops! Oh, viva España!
Oh, dear. And finally, that man of a thousand voices, Mr. Bertie Bufton.
Leave it, matron!
Who was that supposed to be, Bertie?
It's Jim Dale.
Jim Dale.
I was doing him in hospital.
Why?
Don't know.
Good. Well, the gang's all here, so it's time once again for Who's in the Algarve?
While you're in there, it's lovely. But 10 minutes after, it starts itching and you get a nasty rash. Well, I think the woman ought to tell you if there's a risk. Anyway, I'll say this, Mrs. Dando. It's the last time I do a sunbed before going on holiday. Bye-bye, then. Who's in the Algarve?
You are.
I am. Come on in. Oi, oi! Whoops! Oh, viva España! That's me rubber ring deflating.
Oh, that's a relief.
You're telling me last time I eat foreign food.
Well, you're in a hurry, holidaymaker. What's the matter?
It's a disaster. I've had my passport stolen by confidence tricksters.
What rotten luck. Still, you should have given it to the woman behind reception.
I know, but she said she had a boyfriend.
No, I mean, you should have handed her your wallet.
You think I didn't try bribery?
Dickie, first rule of holidaying, always protect your valuables.
I think that's what she was doing.
Well, we're going to have to get you to the bank very quickly. If only we had our own private driver.
And Jackie Stewart wins the world title for the first time.
Ah, that's a stroke of luck, a driver.
I was being Murray Walker. Cracking impression of Murray Walker, that.
He's a commentator, Bertie.
Yeah, he can drive, though, can't he? I'm new Jackie Stewart and all. That was him.
Listen, Murray, can you get us to the back before it closes?
No, it's gone. Thought I had it then. Oh, well. Who wants to see my pants?
Oh, Bertie, no!
Now, come on.
Oi, oi, whoops!
That was Who's in the Algarve, starring Norbert Bucketson, Dickie Whoops and Bertie Bufton. Join us next week when Dickie gets his long lens stuck in a deck chair.
Oi, oi!
A stalemate has developed in Suriname over the last few hours as the rebels await the return of their leader, General Maximilian. We believe that our foreign correspondent, Henry Payne, has gained access to the prison where the general is being held, and we can talk to him now. Henry, how did you manage to get into the jail?
I punched a policeman.
Right. Okay, Henry, have you seen the general?
No, but I can hear him. Listen to this. I don't know if you can hear that. He's singing.
Yes, yes, we can just about hear that. He's obviously trying to keep his strength up.
No, I reckon he's just still mulling. He was really putting him away earlier. Still, you've got to have a beer, haven't you? Know what I mean?
No. No, I can honestly say I have no idea what he means.
I can't hear you, mate.
Henry, when will you be getting out?
Oh, as soon as Max takes over, I've got a signed fag packet promising to make me Minister of Beer.
Oh, well, what a shame. It sounds like you'll be leaving us.
What?
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Max! Oh, put a sock in it! Pussycat eyes. Max! Hold on, mate, it's Max. I'll have to go. I'll speak to you later.
Henry Payne there, putting a sock in the future president of Suriname. You know, if they were to put Henry in front of a 300-soldier firing squad, he still couldn't be more fired than he is at the moment.
I think you've been very brave to come to me with this, and I want to assure you that if we do have an aggressive Graham problem in this company, I will do something about it. Now, what happened?
Sorry. It was horrible in there. I've never seen a group of Grahams lose it like that before.
It's okay, Jerry. Okay. We're going to get this sorted out.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson.
That's okay. But please, call me Graham!
The Butter Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Sudden, Tim Berender, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The producer was Maria Esposito.